today on Real Radio.
There's nothing fair about forgiveness. Whoever has sinned against pays the price in Christianity. It's true in life, by the way. Whoever has sinned against pays the price. And that ain't fair, but it's Christian. That's love.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Going Public, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and above all, to love the way Jesus loved. In part one, we learned that for the believer, the term going public means that what we believe about Jesus Christ is worth sharing. It's publicly setting in motion what the gospel declares to be true, and that is going to take keeping our heads in the game, staying well-grounded and encouraged in our thinking with little thought of ourselves. When we focus on our love for God and our love for others, sharing God's word to a lost and dying world will be a heartfelt and joyful experience. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that like Jesus, we're to love first. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it when it comes to love, because love is not a feeling, it's a choice. Love can rescue this world, and forgiveness can set us free. And now in his message called Going Public, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I want to believe, look, maybe I'm delusional, but God's on the throne. Last time I checked, the Bible's still real. And as long as that's a fact, this is what I believe. I don't care how big or small this church gets or becomes. It's irrelevant. In the end, we will be judged for our magnitude of love. Did we determine to love one another? Let me be blunt. If someone picks someone up off the streets homeless and drives them to church today and they smell and they're wet and they're dirty, you know God could do that to us. And the Lord could say, let's see Gabriel and Michael, let's see how they treat this person. Would you scoot over? A friend of mine was speaking at a Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference. He was one of the big speakers, big name. And he hadn't shaved in a week, but he was planning on shaving before he went and spoke at the conference because it's a big deal. So he's kind of undercover, you know, he's not in public. He lets his beard grow out and then he flies to the destination. Problem is, I think his luggage went to Bangkok and he went to Boston. And he shows up and nobody recognizes him. He's got the same clothes on, he's got a beard, but nobody saw him with a beard. And he's sitting there and he noticed that pastors were moving away from him. Nobody said hi to him. Nobody greeted him. And he decided, you know what, this conference is 3 days and I'm gonna keep this beard, and even if my luggage arrives, I'm gonna keep these same clothes on. And he did. And because he was such a big wheel, he was the last speaker. And he got up and the people were like this. He took his message and he threw it away and he said, I wanna tell you something. He smelled, he didn't look right. And God in his goodness could send somebody like that. Maybe that person sitting next to you in your esteem. And you might say, what's this? And God would have us to love. Be loving. Priority number one. I want to read you a quote from J.H. Jobes, theologian. Quote, within the community of the church, this love was to be operational. By exhibiting this kind of love, the church offered, listen, to the world an alternative society. Isn't that a great statement? The world out there is broken. The world is sick. Sick, I'm telling you, and you know that. And our tendency is to somehow pass new laws or to somehow open up this thing or that thing or to do this or to paint the something in our desperation. Let's do something. The world's nuts. Let's do something. The greatest thing that the world could experience is an alternative society. You want to change the culture? Be a church that loves radically. Radically. That you count the cost, you understand what's up, and you make a determination, I'm going to do this for Jesus anyway. I'm going to do it for Jesus anyway. The word fervent here, and you might want to take notes, is the word heated or hot. It means to be burning or ablaze. Where I have a heart that's burning, a love that's burning. And the word love here is the word you probably had in mind. Agape or agapa or agape. Agape love, God's love. Church, listen, mark this. It's God's love. You don't have this love. No one has this love. I love you so much. Listen, you can say that all you want. This is a love that transcends the love of mankind, the love that a human can have. This is not earthly love. It's a divinely imparted love. Are you tracking with me? This is important. The word agape means to love with goodwill. Remember the announcement of baby Jesus born in Bethlehem? That, how's it go? Behold, today is born in the city of David. Remember the announcement? And peace and goodwill toward men? That's the word. God's love toward mankind manifested in the person of Jesus. Goodwill towards others. The word means to have love on or to bestow love or lavish love upon another. It means, listen to this, it's a preemptive act of love. It means to love first. This is, listen, friends, look, friends, believers, married couples, everyone, listen, it means that you, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand, see who I'm talking to. Okay, you. It means of me and you to love first. Well, I'm not gonna do that until Lisa does this. No, I'll do this if she does this first. That's not God's love. When somebody says to you, you know what, I'll love you if, that, are you listening to me? Do you know, are you dating somebody like that? Cut it off. You want us to, look, this is free. It's not in my notes. Must be from God. Must be some single person here dating a nincompoop. Well, I'll love you if, I'll love you as long as. Listen, that's an announcement coming out of their own mouth that you are sailing into troubled waters, friend. Pull the plug and sink that boat while it's in the bathtub now because you don't want to take it out into the open sea. He, she will fail you. Listen, you were, listen, to be married is to minister to one another. Oh, but I met this girl and she makes me the happiest person on earth. Oy vey. They weren't created to make you the happiest person on earth. But doesn't God want me happy? No. God wants you holy. Marriage is a model of his relationship with us. And listen, you want to get married? Then roll up your sleeves. You want to get married? Put on your big boy, big girl pants. It's awesome. Marriage is fulfilling. You can't get it anywhere else, but it's got to be worked at. You choose to love. It's not a feeling. You decide to do that. But this love that comes from above is a love that God gives to his children to love his children. Oh God, just show me that you love. Listen, just show me that you love me, God. Just show me that you love me. Well, he is showing you that he loves you by the people that he's put around you in life. He is. Today in our world, it's my strong opinion that love is either rarely seen or unknown. But a true biblical love displayed can rescue this world. Those in this world for sure. Tertullian, the great church historian in Carthage, Tunisia. This is what Tertullian said. I think it's noteworthy. In his treatise to the Gentiles and Apology, Tertullian of Carthage wrote an attack on the pagan beliefs and practices as being, here's a quote, and I'm reading from a volume of history, but they quote him, superstitions and immoral, and argued that, quote, The Christian life, as taught in Scripture and practiced by Christians, is morally superior. He recorded that those pagans, as well as the empire itself, had to confess by saying, quote, "Look how they love one another, for we," that is pagans, "hate one another. Look how they are ready to die for each other, for we," pagans, "are readier to kill each other." That was the assessment of the world of the early church. Look how they loved one another. I think that's something needed in our church age today. And I believe, by the way, that it's happening, where God's word is taught, taken seriously, high view of Scripture upheld, and the Holy Spirit sought, God will move. God will move with acts of love coming out of his people. I have no doubt about that. But he wants us to have that fervent love. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. The Bible there says, "Then Peter came to him, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" I'm thinking Peter's probably got a little trick up his sleeve on this one. He's asking Jesus, "How often do I forgive the guy that sins against me? Up to seven times?" I'm sure Peter is pushing the envelope here and he's getting, you know, thumbs up from people. "Jesus, if somebody rips me off, hurts my feelings, steps on my toes, do I forgive him seven times?" And Jesus shocked him. Jesus in verse 22 answered and said, "Do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." It's not 490. It's you forgive people who've sinned against you. How often? Forever until. Now this is where it's going to get real quiet in here real quick. If somebody has sinned against you, you are commanded to forgive them. Even if they're creeps. Even if. Well, they never said they were sorry. It doesn't say in the Bible that you give them forgiveness when they say they're sorry. It says in the Bible that you and I are commanded to forgive them. Now listen to this. You've heard it here before. Some of you who may not have heard it are saying, "I don't like that. Don't say that again." Because you have been poorly taught. God gave you, a human created in the image of God, the ability to forgive the person that has hurt you to set you free. I'll never give them the satisfaction of knowing that I asked them to receive my forgiveness. Then you're going to die bitter. Your world is going to get really small and no one's going to like you and you're going to wind up hating you because you've misunderstood what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is to set you free. And as a side feature, when you tell the person that's at angst with you, "I forgive you as Christ Jesus has forgiven me, I'm commanded to forgive you, and I choose now to forgive you." And now, in a moment, you're set free. There's a little caveat to this, a little side note. Just so you know, a little comfort. It drives that person nuts that you were bigger than they were. But it has to be an act of God. You can't go out today and say, "Oh, I'm going to really stab him a good one, and I'm going to tell him I forgive him. Watch him go crazy. Wrong motive ain't going to work." No, you don't want to do that. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him." Listen to that. Just forgive him. You're going to go to a prayer meeting, but something's going on with you and somebody else? Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. In other words, fellowship's cut off. You don't lose your salvation. It's just that God's not talking to you now. And I wrote this down. I don't know if it works or not, but if it works, then God gave it to me. But what just might be the greatest display of love outside of giving up your life for someone is for you to give someone your forgiveness. If that blesses you, then God gave it to me. If it's dumb, then I made that up. But you think about that for a moment. It's a very expensive thing to issue somebody forgiveness, isn't it? And remember this, there's nothing fair, you might want to write this down, there's nothing fair about forgiveness. You want fairness? Then Christianity is not your faith. Because there ain't nothing fair about a perfect, precious, loving God coming down here to rescue you and I from our sinful life. And he pays the price. He's the one that's offended. He's the one that gets beaten up, misunderstood, scourged, crucified, spit upon, buried, third day risen from the dead, forever sporting a human body for the rest of eternity, enthroned in heaven now for you to administer your salvation from here to eternity. Jesus did this. That's not fair. That's not fair. It wasn't fair to him. But it's luxurious for us. Are you with me? There's nothing fair about forgiveness. Whoever is sinned against pays the price in Christianity. It's true in life, by the way. Whoever is sinned against pays the price. And that ain't fair, but it's Christian. That's love. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Isn't that great? See, but Jack, I don't have it. Of course you don't have it. I don't have it. We ask him for it. This kind of love is a forgiving love. Lord, I can't conjure up this level of love. Is there somebody in your life that you can't stand? Is there somebody in your life that you know you should love more, that you should love better? Then you stop and you say, "Lord, give me your love for them. Give me your love for them." I think I'm preaching to the choir here today because you're the most loving church I've ever seen, the most loving church I've ever experienced. I've been, since I was 19 years old, I came from an awesome church and I thought I'd never see a church like that again. And now this is awesomer. You are awesomer. But I'm telling you right now that acts of love in all areas of life is an example of witness of Christ. And it's going to happen in your life if your heart is in the fight that we call Christianity. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, post it on Facebook or Instagram." Do that instead of talking to them personally. You hear my, no, the Bible doesn't say that. I know you see that in the world, but no, it says even as Christ forgave you, you also must do the same. You're to forgive them. Now, forgiving them doesn't mean you're condoning their sin. What if they're still doing that? You're not condoning it, but you're obeying Christ. Now, between you and them, you're free because of the forgiveness. Church, but listen, are they still responsible to God for their actions? Absolutely. Are they still at odds with God? Absolutely. But you see, you're free. There's a great danger. One of the great tragic outcomes of withholding forgiveness and not loving as we ought to love, listen, it's very sinister, it's very ugly, and here's the sad thing. It's rarely ever detected. It's like a poison, like cyanide. You know, cyanide, you drop it in a liquid and you can't tell until it kills you. It's this. A heart that is not loving and not forgiving will become apathetic. And what's tragic about apathy, apathy is the greatest threat to a church and to a believer, is you don't even care when you hear a message like this, because it can't penetrate the callousness of your heart. If today you're saying, you don't know what happened in my life. Of course I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does, and this is how he's trying to reach your heart. Okay. If you say, "I don't need to hear this," you have no idea what she did to me. God does. And he wants to set you free. And if you dig in and you resist him, apathy is going to creep into your heart. And it's like having cancer and you don't know. He will destroy you. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice the Holy Spirit's presence in your life will be manifested by acts of love. Watch everybody. I'll get ahead of myself, but it's worth it. Acts of love will be generated by the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, then the fruit of the Spirit is at work in your life. Listen, theologians, listen carefully. There's a list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There's a great list of them. And yet there's a strange statement in the Greek language. There is not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is there? It doesn't say fruits. It says fruit singular. And a lot of very, very observant scholars would put it to you this way, and I like it. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not kindness. It's not gentleness or self-control. You know the list? Yes. The fruit singular of the Holy Spirit, what's the first word? Is love. And from love flows these other attributes of love expressed. I love that. I love that because it's singular. It demands that love be focused upon. If you truly love someone, you're going to be kind-hearted toward them, tender toward them. You say, but I'm not tender. Look, I'm not a tender person by nature. I know it comes as a big shock to you, maybe. But, man, some of you are just super tender, and I'm really grateful. I'm not joking because we're a church. You know, we're a family. And people in a family, we're all different. If everybody was like you, that wouldn't be good. If everybody was like me, that would be nuts. It wouldn't work. But we're all different in the same body. Church. And so because of your love for God and God's love for you and the Holy Spirit in your life, and you take your Christianity seriously, it's important to you that you walk in love and that the fruit of the Spirit be manifested. How's that happen? Acts of kindness. My acts of kindness toward you are different than your acts of kindness towards me. Are you with me? It's the way that we are. And it's beautiful.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Going Public, Part 2. We're glad you joined us today, and what a game changer knowing that it's not about us, but it really is about Jesus Christ. Going Public, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Just like Peter said, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, well, that's the key. For the true believer, a close, intimate time with Jesus is our lifeline and our hope. It means that whatever we're facing or the difficult circumstances in which we find ourselves, we can have communion with our Savior who fills us and gives us strength. It really is a big, important part of our walk with God. And if you need any help with your devotional time, we're here to help. Just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that Devotions tab. Once you're there, you'll find a verse and a personal weekly devotion from Pastor Jack. We've also got previous devotions that you can click on for daily reading. With these tools, we'd also like to encourage you to find your own verse from the Word of God and write your own personal story that relates to that verse. Again, you'll find devotions right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the Donate tab. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.